By now, you've heard me talk about Prime Zero Prep, the full-service pre-fulfillment company I personally use. I'm excited because Brendan's given me a code for $50 off the sign-up fee to see if I can bring him a few more customers. Remember, the fourth quarter's here. Now is the time to expand your business. Use a prep company that you can trust, real partner in your business. They're located in tax-free New Hampshire, and that's a big deal. You want to remember that. They can help you with OA, wholesale, private label. Oh, they can also merchant fulfill some of those last-minute orders for you around the holidays. They really are the complete pack and ship company. You need a partner you can trust, and that's PrimeZeroPrep.com. Use the code MOMENTUM, all in caps, must be in caps, and you can get $50 off, as I said. He's only going to do this for a limited time. He's only taking a few customers. Sign up now, get premium service, let Brendan know I sent you. Remember, use that code MOMENTUM. That's PrimeZeroPrep.com.
Welcome to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 154, Asad Siddiqui. You will remember Asad from episode 92 and his brilliant controlled process of handling retail ARP. Genius way, again, you know, being an accountant, being a controller, that is all we try to do is to mitigate potential issues and control, right? And he has done a great job with that. Well, this time he's kind of evolved his business a little bit and really trying to bring into the wholesale market. So in this segment, we're going to spend some time getting caught up and start talking about what's different and where he's going. And I think it's great, again, not giving up, evolving. And I think that that's the lesson. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. Man, I'm so excited to have my guest, returning guest, great friend, Asad Siddiqui. Welcome back, Asad.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Steve.
Man, we've become great friends, and it's just, I can't wait to see you when I get to New York. I hope you're coming to one of our trips in New York so we can have some Liron specials, those high-test coffees, and wander around the city at a few shows again this year. I hope you're coming down from Boston.
Oh, absolutely. That is definitely the plan. You name the date and I'll be there.
We had such a good time. And, you know, it's just what was so cool is I knew that minute talking with you that we would get along. And Liron, I mean, it's just a perfect grouping. Add Andy to the mix and now it's like a real party, isn't it? I mean, it's just so neat to see people that would have never met had it not been for this internet business that we're all in, to be able to assimilate so well and just get along so well. It's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible, you know, and it's just terrific to have the experience to get to know some like-minded lifelong friends, I would say, but also people who will help you make so much more money.
And that is what we're here to talk about, isn't it? Because
right.
you're killing it. I mean, you're not like having a good year. We're in Q4. It is hot and heavy Q4. You had to break free. The reason we couldn't record last night, Steve, I have to spend $10,000, I have to do it tonight. Like the problems of society. Oh my God, you have to spend $10,000 and you have to do it tonight. But it's true. You have to time this time of year. You really do have to time your spending, because you have to work your way backwards. And that's going to be part of our questions in the middle, because you really do have to start thinking about, you know, you could send all you want to the warehouse. That doesn't mean it's going to get checked in. And, you know, last year, right, they were moving everything everywhere. So these things really are serious things to consider.
Yeah, and you got to plan for lead time. Then you constantly need to, if you want to be putting up big numbers, rotating stock in and out of the Amazon warehouses. So that means you got to spend a lot of money. That means you got to figure a way to pack a lot of products. And that's what I'm trying to do the best I can these days.
Are you doing things different now versus, you know, 6 months ago, a year ago?
Definitely. You know, so there have been some interesting changes in my business, and I feel that everyone should seriously always look at their business and consider whether there needs to be any types of progression. So for me, one of the big things that has changed in the last 6 months is I've started to cultivate more and more wholesale relationships. Mm. You know, I think it's interesting how I look at products on the Amazon marketplace now. You know, I really used to be heavily ROI focused, but did not mind volatility in the short term, right? Because I would buy limited quantities of most products historically. But as I've looked to grow and I need to buy larger quantities of items, I might take a little lower return for something that's stable. And that's what makes wholesale a very attractive business proposition for me. Yeah.
You've had, are you able to order multiple SKUs from a wholesaler? Is that one of the things that are attractive?
Absolutely. The ability to do it in a fashion that I can also outsource, where I can basically tell a staff member that I want to maintain a certain par level. So your responsibility is, as you go through portions of our Amazon inventory, to look at the items that we have in stock, the current stock levels, how that relates to basically, I like to plan on a 30-day inventory sort of load basis if possible. And then we place reorders, every couple of weeks normally through the wholesale arms that we have, some more frequently than that, some less frequently. But it all kind of centers around this magic number, figuring out how much of something I can sell in 30 days.
You were very, very heavy into retail ARP. I mean, that was your thing. I mean, that was where you had built the controls, the processes, the steps to be able to handle. Does that mean you've given up on that?
No, absolutely not. I mean, Black Friday, I went to the stores and I spent $11,000 that day.
Okay.
And then I stayed up all night and I helped my packers pack the items, because it's important with those types of product to get them in early to take advantage of the price stability that exists on Amazon before the market gets flooded. So it's certainly not gone from my business model, but it's also not something I find that's as easy to scale, and it's certainly not something that's as easy to automate. So I want to build a lifestyle business, and more that means I'm gravitating towards things that I can do without having to invest my time. And RA, whatever way you slice it, you need to be in the store. Even when I have shoppers, I need to spend time evaluating the finds that they have. So
I call it the hassle factor, right? You're trying to eliminate some of the hassle factor, because it is. It really is. It does get more complicated the more moving pieces. And so when you are ordering wholesale, there's a lot fewer pieces, right? I mean, that's common sense would tell you that, right? And so I applaud you. And I think that once you get that figured out, you're going to have nothing but success. Have you dabbled into private label at all?
Not yet. So that's going to be, I think, a direction that I really want to explore seriously in 2017. But, I think given the season of selling, if you will, now's is really not the time to start anything new. It's a great time to keep doing what works.
That's what I said to somebody. Now is the time to just take your existing products that you know will sell and find sources to get more of that, not bring new products to market right now, because right now you just got to keep it going, keep feeding it. You know what you need. So find more of it and just keep going.
You better believe it.
Love it. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, I have questions that I've chosen for you. Very specific question, but I think they're perfect for you. I think you'll relate to them. So we'll be right back.
Great new sponsor, Feedback Genius. The holiday shopping season is the most profitable time of year. This is when we have everything right. As an Amazon seller, we've got our listings right. We've got inventory in the warehouse. Everything's polished, ready to go. But if you're not following up with shoppers with automated emails, especially when you're selling the volume you are, you're leaving seller feedback and product reviews on the table. This is valuable stuff. Feedback Genius is the premier automated Amazon messaging system. It sends messages based on actual order events. That's a big deal. There's no guessing when to send a targeted email. It just automatically happens. It arrives in the shopper's inbox. It's a great system. Get started 30-day. They're giving us 30-day free trial. FeedbackGenius.com. You got to use the code MOMENTUM. Go to FeedbackGenius.com/MOMENTUM, and you're going to get 15 extra day on your free trial. So that's 45 days and 500 bonus messages you can use at any time. Tell Jeff and the guys I sent you. That's 45-day trial. I love that. Thank you, guys. Use the code MOMENTUM, FeedbackGenius.com, MOMENTUM.
The dude is smart. Such a great guy. I've gotten to personally know him, and man, I am just a terrific person, and it's so smart, and I can't wait to see him soon. In this segment, we're going to spend some time answering questions from Amazing Flips and Tips, AFT for short. It's a group run by
Peter Molyus and Ryan Witeska. It's a paid group. I just want you to know that. It's a pretty high-end paid group. Lots of smart people asking smart questions. Very toy-oriented, this Q4, which makes sense, right? But I've been in it for years, and I've really enjoyed myself. These guys are really great, will help you, and there are lots of people in there answering questions if you have them. And so these questions, I think, are perfect for him, and I think he does a great job answering them. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Asad Siddiqui, and we were talking about the changes in your business, and I applaud you for continually evolving in your business, right? You know, one of the big challenges, Amazon has been, you know, modifying their policies, right? They're gating, ungating, requiring this, not requiring that, depending on who it is. But it's a big moving machine. So in fairness, one arm doesn't know what the other one's doing. And I don't think it's reasonable to expect them to. I don't think that'll ever change. I just don't think it possibly could change. I think they're just so big, they can't. You're positioning yourself by moving into wholesale. Those are legitimate sources that you have authorized or you have authority to sell. And ultimately, that's not a bad business because they're replenishable, right? You know you can count on them. To me, it's smart.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the end game for sure.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. So, Mr. Wildman, because you were having a great quarter. You really are. That's impressive. Questions I chose were from Amazing Flips and Tips, and that's a paid group. I'm going to say that. It's a paid group run by Ryan Witeska and Peter Molyus, two great guys. I've been a member for, God, I've been in there forever. And it's a group where they post a lot of things that you can buy. So lots of retail flips, lots of online arbitrage flips. This time of year, it's a lot of toys, very specific. But it's a pretty aggressive group, and they've been going on strong for many years. But the questions that get asked in there are pretty high level, and they're pretty common sense, some of them. But I love some of the responses. I'm interested to hear what your responses are going to be. So this is one perfect for you because Asad is a process guy, man. He is all about the process. For those, and I guess I should say this, is that if you want Asad's background, it's episode 92. I apologize for not saying that. Episode 92, all his background's there, and it's a great story. And you'll understand what I mean about process by listening to it. But here's the question. For those doing online arbitrage, how do you keep track of orders? I am having a hard time keeping track. So imagine this person is placing a lot of orders at any given time, probably paying for them. And, you know, there are times when, you know, let's face it, you could, with the technology today, you could place an order in every 5 minutes. And so all of a sudden you got 20 or 30 orders. How do you keep track of them? And do you have a process in place for that?
Absolutely. I mean, so basically what I've looked to do more and more with online arbitrage is develop a system so I can figure out what's happening when I'm making all these different purchases. So, normally what that entails for me, first I did this myself, but now I've outsourced this, right? But in the original world, basically I would just have a simple Google spreadsheet, right, where I would capture certain pieces of information. For me, it was important to know what the item I bought was, how many I bought of it, what the order number associated with it was, the store, and the ASIN on Amazon, because I too many times have not captured the right product page. And sometimes if I'm sending something to a prep center, I never see that item. And if I need to try and find an item again, and there's multiple Amazon pages for it, I just want to streamline the process of data entry. So I just capture the ASIN as well. And basically, I just did that for every item that I would buy. And it took an extra few minutes on the back end of every single order. But the dividends, it paid off later when something was broken or when I couldn't find the receipt for this item. All you have to do is copy your order number and paste it into your email, and you can find it very easily.
And that's a real deal. Finding a receipt can be an issue if you have somebody claims inauthentic. And so by putting the time in as you did up front, you're going to save the time on the other end. And I just think it's a great insurance in essence too.
Thanks. Yeah. It certainly works for me.
Okay. In Cujo, apparently. Okay. So here's the next question. What is the FBA deadline for Christmas related items that you plan on using? So you know, kind of what we've been talking about in the beginning is, you know, you've got to start working your way backwards, right? You've got to believe that, you know, unless you're using premium placement, which many people will be turning on, or if they haven't turned on, should be turning on. We use inventory placement now. So it goes to one, you know, center, and then generally it gets dispersed from there. But that's a delay, right? That's absolutely a delay. What's your thinking about when you're going to stop sending stuff in?
So, interesting to hear you talk about premium placement, because I turned on my premium placement just before Black Friday.
That's funny.
So I myself personally, I'm going to watch the check-in times, but so far with premium placement, basically if I ship on a business day, my items are live the following day. So if I can maintain that sort of clip, I might push through December 16th. I'll at least ship through December 14th. Now, if I didn't have premium placement and I just was sending items in, I believe the Amazon deadline they've said is the 2nd, but my recommendation to people is always just to check your experience and how long does it take you on average to get your items checked in, and use that as a proxy. I think you could probably ship at least up through the 8th or the 9th and still have your items live and be able to be sold before Christmas.
So the 8th or the 9th are the dates you're going to use. What difference has premium placement? Say that again. You say that on a business day. Now, premium placement, you get to choose where you want your inventory to go, correct?
That's right. So you select a standard size warehouse and an oversized warehouse.
And so you just box it up, send it to that warehouse. It gets there quickly.
So you, since you're deciding the place, you know, I ship to a place where normally it reaches there the next day.
Okay, because it's relative. You chose a place close to you. Right?
Exactly.
Okay, and then are they sending it from there out across the country? Is that the premise?
So all your items actually go live when you ship it to that warehouse. So it's not to a distribution warehouse.
Okay. So because I'm choosing the one, there's four of them in Carlisle. So my town where I live, there's actually four warehouses. So if I choose one, they're oversized. But if I chose one there, as soon as I send an item there, it's going live. Now, what happens when I'm the only seller and it's got to go to California? It's still live for that person in California?
One would assume so, okay. But I haven't tested the market that well to be sure.
Because in theory, if I sent four of them, they would put one on the East Coast, one in the Midwest, you know, one in the West, and one maybe in the South. And then when that person, when the closest person buys, they get that particular item, logically, right? In the scenario we're describing now, all my inventory, does your inventory stay there, Asad? Do you know?
So far, it looks like it has. This is my first year using inventory placement. Premium placement. I heard a lot about it last year.
Okay.
What I can tell you is I shipped a whole bunch of things that I bought on Thanksgiving into early Black Friday morning on Black Friday afternoon, and basically sold through all of those items on Cyber Monday.
Nice. Nice. Okay. So premium placement, you can still turn it on today, and that'll really help you get through those next couple of weeks. Okay. Last question. And I don't know how much you run into this, but how are you managing stranded inventory? Boy, it just seems to happen so frequently now. And I have an account manager and I get an email. I'll shoot it to her and she'll be like, oh, we already got it. Or all of a sudden I'll see all these listings just show up in my email and I'm like, okay, they're fixing my inventory apparently, because it's sometimes it just keeps happening and happening and happening. And so I have a process in place. How do you manage stranded items, or do you have an account manager?
Basically have an account manager. You know, it's a VA that okay. I'm sort of tasked to do this work. So they go in and they basically just pull all of the items out that are either damaged or, you know, just unfulfillable, and send them back to one of my local packers who is responsible for once a month going through all that stuff, deeming what's resellable. And I haven't really figured out what to do with the other things yet. I'm leaning towards just donating them all and taking the write-off.
Okay. So you're dealing with them the same way everybody else is. They're just trying to figure it out. Because it's become, I don't know, is it become a big deal for you?
Oh, it's absolutely a headache. I wish I managed it better. I have a closet full of things from Amazon that, you know, are supposed to go on eBay, for example, but I never have the time to put anything on eBay, or go into a yard sale, but I don't want to spend a Saturday selling things in my front lawn. So, you know, it's certainly something that I struggle with.
Yeah, me too. And I just have not figured it out. Other than, I mean, like I said, I have somebody who does it for me and it automatically happens. And I'm thankful for that. So, all right, when we come back, I want to take another break. When we come back, I want you to help us help people move their business forward. 2017 is coming. I know you have a plan. I know I have a plan. We talked about it pre-call. And so I think it's important for people now to be strategizing. Right now, put your head down, do the work. Right now, keep working while you're listening to this. Don't stop. But you do have to start thinking about next year. It's not too late, right? You want to have a plan. What worked this year? What's going to work next year? Because things will be different. I guarantee you, Asad, things are going to be different next year. I'm such an omniscient person. I mean, look at, think of how much I know, right? I mean, it's just so, I'm a sayer, right? I can tell everybody. All right, we'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by me. Yes, I'm sponsoring my own podcast. This is the ecommercemomentum.com is actually sponsoring it. And it's because I've been able to get the new website up. Not finished by any stretch, but I had to get it up because the player is so much better. You really want to go check out the player. It lets you do so many cool things, including Clammer. And if you don't know what Clammer is, once you try it, you will love it. You can take snippets and send them to somebody else. It's very cool. But I've also added a blog page, and I have my first post up, and they're just short thoughts that I have. I wrote 19 of them when I was on vacation, just different things that I think I'm hopefully going to provoke some thought and get you thinking about really investing in your business, because I think it's time to invest in this lifestyle business, but I want you to invest in your life. And some of these things are going to be about life. Some of these things are going to be about reducing touch points, things that, you know, are on my mind. And I talk to so many people, they're on their mind too. So I think there's some benefit there. So ecommercemomentum.com, when you sign up, you will get 25. Yeah, here my big sales pitch, 25 things you can outsource in your business. I think most of them will be intuitive. There's a few there you might say, huh, I might didn't even think I could do that, but you can. And I give you a list of different things, all free. And I just hope you sign up, because then you'll receive notifications when I do post a new blog post or when I have a new episode coming out. These episodes, you know, two a week plus some blog posts, I put out a lot of content. I really hope you enjoy it. Again, if you see somebody that you think is worth me interviewing, send me a note, private message me, and I'd love to talk with them. Ecommercemomentum.com is the sponsor. Take care. Told you this is a smart individual. What I appreciate in this segment is we actually get into some steps. I asked him for some steps to help people move forward. He went deeper than I thought he would, and I'm so pleased he did, because, you know, it gives you a chance to pull back and look at your own business process. I don't care how far you are into it, you still need to be looking for other ways to run your business. And having some outside people take a look, you know, even just consider what he says and just say, how do I handle that? It might help you. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Asad Siddiqui, and I'm teasing him about, you know, this vast knowledge where I predict that things will change next year. I think that's safe to assume, right?
I would say that is an absolute certainty.
And it's probably going to accelerate the change. I think that, I mean, I don't know about your particular industry, because you have a full-time job too. Our industry is evolving daily. I mean, it's not weekly anymore. Now it's daily, it seems like. And I just think everybody's going through that, no matter what business you're in. And I don't think there's a way to stop it anymore.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that what's important for everyone to remember is acknowledge the fact that that change is coming and figure out how best to prepare yourself for it.
And change isn't necessarily bad. It's an adapt, right? It's a thing you have to adapt to. It's not necessarily bad.
Absolutely.
All right. Give me some tips. Give me some things that we can do, that people can do to get 2017 started out on the right foot.
So I think the first tip that I would recommend that people do is they create some type of a goal for themselves. In the Amazon space, just have it be a sales goal. So, you know, I used to listen to Dwayne Mollick's podcast a lot, and he had the road to 500K and the march to a million. And, you know, having some type of buzzword or something to measure against, I think, is very important because it keeps you motivated, in particular if you're not taking a lot of money out of your business. So you got to have something to work towards so you can figure out what you need to do to get there is the first thing I'd recommend that people do.
I love it. That's, I mean, it's great. So set a financial goal.
Absolutely. The second thing that I think that a lot of people should do is think about how their business needs to progress, right? So once you've sort of defined this goal for yourself, if you're not looking to sell $1 million, that's fine. If you're looking to only sell $10,000 a year or $100,000 a year, whatever that number might be, it's going to require a certain amount of work for you to basically hit that sales number, right? And the way that I define that work is I look at what the average sales price of my inventory used to be. So I know that if I want to sell $1 million and if I sold all of my inventory at $25 a unit, I got to sell 40,000 things next year, right? So that kind of gives you just an idea of how much stuff you need to buy and how much stuff you need to pack if you want to be able to hit those types of numbers, you know? So I like to create this big goal and figure out how I can create smaller, more measurable goals for myself based on that big goal. So, you know, start to use your goal to define what that means for you in terms of work is the second tip that I would give to folks.
Use your goal to define work needed. I love it. I mean, it really is, because when you say that, you know, that's 40,000 items, it's like, whoa, that's a little overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, and you can break it down into what do you need to deal with a month,
right,
a week, a day. Week. You know, it really just makes things more tangible, because selling $1 million sounds great, but what does it actually take to get there is an interesting exercise, frankly.
Love it.
Okay. So once you've kind of done some of this ground setting, you know, now you want to think about, I think, the direction that your business is going. And, you know, I don't think that there is anything that would preclude you from doing any specific type of business model. You know, people put up big numbers just selling used books. People put up huge numbers selling retail arbitrage and online arbitrage based items. You know, people do that in wholesale. You know, it's figure out what your niche is. And that's typically going to be, at least when you're starting in this business, based on whatever your history has been in for starters. So, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That also applies to the rest of your year. So you want to grow your business in new directions, but you always want to maintain some type of a core in something that you're familiar with and you know you can do well.
I think that, you know, selling something you know, selling something you're comfortable with really does make the most sense, because it just gives you the ability to grow knowledge, right? I mean, because if you put that 50 hours, as they say, right, of work in that particular, you're going to become an expert. And an expert makes better choices, makes better decisions, because you can buy smarter, you can, you know, just source smarter, everything about it. So I think it's absolutely a smart move is to stay close to what you know. And then what happens is you find out other things eventually, right? I mean, that's how you grow.
Yeah, totally. You know, and I think that the more that you grow, and a big part of growth for me over the course of this past year, you know, I can't stress this enough, and a lot of people talk about the importance of relationships in this business, but really it can't be undervalued. You know, the people that you'll meet and the things that you'll learn from them, the deals you may strike, the opportunities that arise from them can only help you. So I encourage people out there, if you haven't engaged with other sellers, find some people who are like-minded. Go to a wholesale show with them. Go to your first conference.
Make some purchases, you know, with them, right? Yeah. I mean, think about that. It's so true.
Right?
We bought, what, three, maybe four vendors? I don't even remember. Me, you, and Leron together all from the same vendor. We made a better deal because A, the vendor was happy he was getting three customers making a great size purchase, right? All three of us, though, we split up a little bit and then found different vendors. Hey, come on over here, guys. Hey, I got us another lead over here. I don't feel threatened in any way. I have no idea what you price your stuff at. I price mine what I price mine at. That relationship's been incredible, right?
Oh, totally. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, the same way change is inevitable, in Amazon, competition is inevitable. Mm. So I would rather have someone who I know can at least help me potentially reduce the cost I need to pay for something, which is, you know, economies of scale, because the three of us are going in on a buy versus just one of us, and people who I think are in it just try and make a profit on these items versus someone who I don't know.
Right.
Right. So it seems like a win-win in so many levels for me, but it's also something that, in a way, you know, I think that people are very guarded with their items. They're very guarded with their sources in the Amazon world. And you'd be surprised what giving up a little bit of trust can actually earn you on the back end, especially if you cultivate the right kind of relationships.
Yeah, you would not have gotten all those deals had I not been willing to blah, blah, blah. And vice versa, Steve, you would not have gotten those deals had you not been willing to do. You know, to me, that's a win. So I pick up, you know, I get double the passion out there looking for products for me. That's a win for me. So I agree with you there.
Yeah, totally. You know, yeah, another thing I think that people should learn from is I think that there's a lot of power in understanding what has done well in the past to help you understand what might do well in the future, right? So you should be looking at what you've done well in the past and trying to do more of that. You should be looking at items that have sold well in the past on Amazon and identifying characteristics of those items, or maybe even that same item potentially has the ability to sell well again in the future. You know, I'm a numbers guy. My day job is in finance. So, you know, I gravitate towards those types of things, but there's a lot of power in information. And I think sometimes, you know, I felt like during Q4, I can't even keep track of stuff. So many units are moving. I can't keep track of their prices. But when I do get a minute and things settle down, I still go back and look, because you want to learn from things that you may have underpriced or things that maybe you were too aggressive with and you missed the boat on.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I think the fact that you're looking at that stuff is the reason that you're successful. Because the fact that you're paying attention to the small stuff there, you are, you know, you're getting smarter every single time. I mean, I just think this is great. All right, give us another one.
All right. So I would also challenge everybody to extend out of their comfort zone in one way or the other, right? So if you only RA, try some OA, or do wholesale for the first time, vet one private label product. Go to a conference, do something that, you know, you've kind of been on the fence about, but you've sort of been thinking about. You know, for me, I did wholesale shows for the first time last year. I went to my first conference last year. You know, I spent more than $10,000 in a day for the first time over the course of this past year. So, you know, there's been a lot of firsts, but every one of them has helped me push my business to new heights.
Love it. Dude, you know, you're going to have an incredible year. What are you going to do different for yourself? Now, you've already talked about what you've been doing different in the last 6 months. What are you planning different for 2017? Bring that home for us, because I think that, you know, these other things are great and they're foundational and that. But here, you've already passed that foundational point, and a lot of listeners are too. What's your plan? Let's say it that way.
Yeah. So, you know, I still think for me, it's going to start with a goal, and then it's going to start with defining the work that needs to be done for the goal. But what is going to be a big part of it for me is I want to limit the time I need to invest into this business as much as possible. You know, I really want to figure out if there's a way for me to remove myself from the business aside from providing capital in 2017. Hmm. So, That's going to involve, obviously, I think, shift in sources. I can't be doing as much OA and RA if that's going to be what's going to happen. And I need to train and hire some competent people to be able to do this work for me. And that way, if I want to step outside of my professional job at some point in time, I have a real company I can step into. Or if I just want to keep it going as something on the side, I don't have to exchange my time for the revenue that I want to get from the business.
I mean, and is revenue, are you more revenue oriented or profit oriented? And I mean, I don't mean it sounds stupid. Of course, everybody wants to make a certain profit. But I mean, do you have a goal to get X number of dollars, knowing that I can get at least this margin and eventually I can squeeze some more margin? I mean, where are you going with that?
Certainly I think profit trumps revenue in my book of business. But what I've found is that, you know, because revenue basically equates to some type of cost for me, the more revenue that I generate, the more money I'm going to need to spend to get that much, which more and more helps me gravitate towards a wholesale-based business, because you make big buys in wholesale and then sell that stuff hopefully over the course of a relatively short time frame. That's the model that I want to build for my business. Both are definitely important, but in my opinion, sometimes I like to think a little bit about revenue too.
Okay. Well, I don't want us to lose sight, because I know, I want to sell $1 million. Well, that's great. But if you don't make any money, that's not great, right? That's not a good business model. I was just listening to someone who was talking about restaurant business, that 5% is pretty much the norm. And if you do $1.5 million, you're going to make $75,000 a year. That's a lot of work to make 75 grand. That's not a good business model that I would want to be in. But so it's important to know that, you know, hey, I did $1.5 million in sales. Well, if you made 5%, that's pretty sad. You made 20%. That's a very good, healthy business on those kind of sales. And those are the numbers I generally see, you know, between 17 and 20 something percent are the net numbers that I see. Andy Simons and I both see those same things. And we've seen people who say they do it better. God bless them. But by the time you put the insurances and the taxes and all the rest of that jazz in, that's what we see. How about yourself?
I'm right there with you. That is right my ballpark, you know. So.
And it's a challenge with fees going up. I mean, you know, let's face it, freight has gone up and it's not going to get cheaper. Although, you know, now that they allowed FedEx to do some shipping, maybe we'll see some cheaper things. But, you know, fees. I don't think Amazon or eBay or anybody's going to lower their fees anytime soon. I tend to think that those fees are going up. And so you really have to be smarter about, you know, what you're selling. And what you were selling might not be profitable anymore. You really need to know your numbers. And I think that that's your biggest strength, and hence the reason you're killing it like you are.
Absolutely, man. I can't speak enough for looking into the data and taking what you can from it.
Well, I'm very excited that you have rethought your business, and it's evolved, because you had a very strong model and it's not broken. You're still doing that. You're just doing it at a different level. I'm very excited about the wholesale model, because, you know, I know I've been a little part of it, and I just love to see somebody get it and then take and run with it as well as you have. And I think that, as you say, it's so sustainable and there's a future there. Have you thought about bringing some of those products to other marketplaces yet?
Absolutely. You know, I think that diversifying, you know, trying to get on Jet and Walmart are going to be important parts of 2017 for our business. Mm. I think it also might create, though, the need for us to get our own warehouse, you know. Right. So there's steps that need to be taken before we can fulfill our own items, and that would need to be staffed, you know, like a 40-hour-a-week shop. As you know, my business model right now is I basically have a bunch of independent contractors who work at their leisure. So, you know, I would have to put a few things in place, I think, before I could be really successful on a lot of these other platforms. Or if they changed their model and they had something more comparable to FBA, then there would be a real opportunity there. But, you know, I think that for right now, I'm going to start with Walmart and Jet and just try and see how the experience goes, and then take it from there.
Love it. Okay, if somebody has a follow-up question, is it okay that I put your Facebook contact out there for a private message?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Dude, I can't wait to see you. We'll see each other in a few months. Actually, hopefully before then, in one of these shows in New York City. We tend to trend up that way because there are a lot of shows. I mean, you know, that's something that, you know, I don't want to lose sight of. In January, I'm going to be in Philadelphia for a gift show. Bob Willie and I, we had a little breakfast there, not last year, I think it was the year before. And so I think we're going to do the same thing. I know in March, you and I are going to be in Vegas. But I'll pop into the city probably four times this year because that's where the shows are for me. Vegas, there's a show a week. I mean, there literally is a show. Chicago, another place. Boston. How many shows are in Boston? Do you make it to a lot of them?
So there's a few shows in Boston. I have not been to any yet.
Oh, dude, you're killing me. So, I'm going to come up and show you how to get to these things. But it's true. Right. There really are, you know, in Atlanta, right? I mean, all these big cities have them. You have to be willing to get out there and do the work. Lots of times you're not going to want to buy any of the junk, right? Or they're not going to want to sell to you. But the world is changing. What didn't work before is changing. Their business is changing. They're much more open to it. And you've just got to get out there and do the work. So I can't wait to see you get to see and continue to see the success you're having. It's so impressive. And I wish you nothing but success, my friend.
Thank you, man. Likewise to you. I'm sure we're in for some great things in 2017.
Take care. It's a great time to take a break. I want to talk about Andy Slammons, and he's back with his best private label training yet. If you haven't participated, because it's only open for a little bit and he closes it, this one's going to be his best one yet. It's complete. It's the whole process that'll help you build your very own brand. And I think that's what you got to start thinking about. You are trying to build a brand. It's amazingfreedom.com, amazingfreedom.com, where you're going to learn how to find a product, how to source the product, how to find the manufacturer, how to negotiate with suppliers. These are all critical things. How to run PPC sponsored ads on Amazon. Does that sound foreign to you? Well, it's not going to after this. How to import, how to get ranked number one in search. That's the biggest deal. I mean, you got to get ranked, right? That's what you got to do. And then we're going to try and drive some traffic to your listing. How do you do that? Well, what's really exciting this time is Andy Slammons and Liron Hirschkorn, both $1 million sellers of private label. They're going to teach you how to do all of that. I've personally spoken to a number of Andy's students that are crushing it. You've heard some of them on my show. You've heard them tell their success. They credit the one-on-one attention that you get from the course. You have questions, you get answers. And that's what you really need to do. So it's amazingfreedom.com, amazingfreedom.com. Check it out. You're going to find out how to private label for your business. This is a business you are growing, a brand, and that's what they're going to help you do. Andy Slammons, amazingfreedom.com. Tell them I sent you. Man, another great interview. Such a great guy. If you get a chance to meet him, please do. It's so worth your time. He has more knowledge than most people. He's a finance guy, just a smart, smart guy. You can check out the podcast website, ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com. Got a new blog post coming out this week. Should be interesting. I only post them there, and I only notify you if you sign up for my newsletter, ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.